up things. Know that you're not giving anything up in this life that God's not going to reward you for. As you give, as you are setting things aside, God will meet you. And so we looked at dropping our walls and dropping sin and giving up things in our lives. And I want to look today at something that's going to confuse you maybe off the get-go, but let me explain it to you. And it's literally the title of this message is called Giving Up the Spirit of Mammon. Mammon. How many have heard the phrase mammon? Wave at me. You've been in church. Because it's not a phrase that you're not out at Albertsons going, hey, do you know where the mammon is kept? It's just not going to happen. And so it's a great Scrabble word. Your friends will fight with you, and then you got to look it up, show them in the Bible where it's at. You know, they're going, what's that word? You just made that up. Here's the scripture that says the word so that we know what it's all about. Jesus is speaking and he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everyone say mammon. Amen. A lot of scriptures have translators, and I believe, and I'll just say it the way I believe it, I believe they've lazily translated this to just money. You can't serve God and money. Well, I think that's a lazy translation, although it's accurate. It doesn't even come close to describing what Jesus is trying to describe here. What he's talking about is not a specific thing or a specific set of things. He's talking about a mentality, a mindset, or a spirit. I want to talk about laying aside or setting aside the spirit of mammon as opposed to having the spirit of God be the one that rules you. You cannot serve two masters, he said. He makes it very clear. You're either going to love God or you're going to love mammon, the spirit of mammon. Now, what is mammon? Well, to get a little bit deeper into it for just a moment and to define it, mammon is an Aramaic word that literally means riches, a god of riches. The Assyrians and the Babylonians, they had come to a place where they worshipped a god of riches. They worshipped if you became rich, you were your in and of itself, you were your own god. It was a mindset that says, mammon is a mindset that says, man does not need God because man can do it all by himself. I'm always interested in hearing the phrase when I hear this, I'm a self-made man. Really, how did that happen exactly, that you made yourself? Now, I get what's going on. It's like, you know, I attained some things. And, you know, I built this with my own two hands. Really, whose hands are they after all? Oh, they're on loan from who? Okay. Whose breath is that you're about to breathe? Like, I think it's interesting that we think sometimes, or the spirit of mammon says, that I am my own God, that I can do it all by myself, that humankind doesn't need God. The spirit of mammon is, in a nutshell, at the heart of it, Jesus says, you can't serve both God and put your trust in riches, or the god of money, or the god of wealth, or the god of fame, whatever it is. You can't put your trust in that. Now, it's interesting to me that on our money, someone Googled it in the first service and told me what the year was, but 1957, thank you. He was in the first service too. He's not trying to act like he was smart back there. I outed you right there. I just outed you. Here's what it says, in God we trust. And every once in a while, you hear somebody and they'll throw it across. They're going to take in God. We trust off our money. And I don't want them to do that. But in some ways, I'm going, well, they might as well. Because as a nation, we've pretty well trusted. It's almost a slogan now. I'm believing this is a prophetic word, actually. I'm believing that this is a prayer, in God we trust. I'm believing that we will return back to the reality that it's in God we trust. Because the reality of it is, and I'm not trying to get political, I'm just saying, we have learned to trust in so many other things. And that's what the spirit of mammon is all about, where it is that you're putting your trust. I know I'm waving money around and you think, I've already taken the offering. We're not doing another offering. That's why I'm not doing a second offering. All right, it's all out of the way. This is about a heart. This is about a heart issue. God is speaking and he's telling them, you can't serve with your heart. You cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve one or the other. In 1 Timothy, it's written, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money that's evil. There's nothing inherently evil about this. In fact, it's fun. It's not evil. It's fun. It can be used for evil, of course. But it's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. I don't even know where I got cash. My wife usually, I'm not even sure where this came from. But here's the thing. The reason we can't serve two masters, both God and the spirit of mammon, is because the spirit of mammon and the spirit of God are on opposites. God says give. Mammon says receive. Mammon says take. Mammon says hoard. Mammon says hang on to it because you never know if you're going to get any more. This could be your last. Interesting. Mammon says take. God says give. Mammon says, mammon is selfish. God is generous. The spirit of God. God is a generous God. He loves you so much. And let me put it to you this way. The money that's submitted to God has the spirit of God all over it. But money that's not submitted to God has the spirit of mammon all over it. In other words, he gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give seed to the hoarder. The Bible says he gives seed to the... What's a sower supposed to do with seed? Sow it. Not hoard it. And certainly not eat it. Because there's only going to be... That's a one-time deal. The trust in money can never be blessed because at its core, it's competing with our trust in God. Oh, that was really good. Hang on a minute. Let me say it again. Our trust in money at its core is competing with our trust in God. Who are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? My faith and trust is going to be in God. And what happens is that money or finances or the God of riches or whatever the thing it is that you're not trusting, you're trusting this over God, it becomes a little g God in your life. Which little g God are you wanting to serve today? Money that's submitted to God is blessed by God. And Jesus makes it very clear that trusting in money, that's an evil thing. Just before Jesus said, he says this about trust, and he says, choose whom you're going to serve. But just before he says that, he says this phrase in the same message. Don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys or where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your, everybody say, heart. This is a heart issue. If you're here and you're nervous because I've been to churches where they talk about money all the time, that's not this church. We're not trying to do anything except for let you understand what God's saying. It's about a heart. It's about where your heart is, where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. We can see that Jesus clearly shows that money itself is not inherently evil because we can obviously use our money to store up treasures in heaven. This is why I believe the devil fights so much at the core of who we are to get us to be not generous. Because when we're generous, when we're givers the way God's called us to be, we're literally killing off the spirit of mammon. And let me be clear about something too. It's not just people who have a lot of money who deal with the spirit of mammon. We immediately think of, well, rich people, they're miserly, they're tight, and all that. No, I've met some pretty poor people that are just absolutely bound by the spirit of mammon. They're bound by this mindset that they've got to somehow achieve, that they're in control of their own fate, that God has nothing to do with it. I believe the enemy is attacking people in this area. He attacks us in our mind. There's a spiritual life lesson that's a really good lesson for us to learn, and that is, here's how you know if you're dealing with the spirit of mammon, is in the form of your giving. Jesus had mammon in mind when he was talking about this, and he said, he who's faithful in the least, I'll make him faithful over much. The test is, will you be faithful in the little things? If you're not going to be faithful in the little things, what makes you think you're going to be faithful in the big things? The thing is, if you start tithing, which, again, this is my only part. I'm talking about money specifically. But if you start tithing, 10% of $100 is 10 bucks. Well, I know this. I learned this a long time ago. 90% with God goes further than 100% without God. Always. I can trust the Lord. I don't have to trust in my finances. I can trust the Lord. A lot of people get this backwards. I've had this conversation with people. And they sound so spiritual and so Christian. One day when I win the lottery, I'm going to give big. Please. Okay, you might. And I'm not ripping on anybody that's ever said that to me, because some of you said that to me. You're going to call me out later. But here's the point. If you're not giving with $5, you're not going to give with $5 million. Because it's a heart issue. It's not about the gift. It's not about the amount. It's a heart issue. If you're not a generous person, if you're a miserable human being with $5, you're going to be a very rich, miserable human being with $5 million. You're like, well, let me give that a shot. Pastor, can I give that a shot this week? Is that okay? Here's what I'm saying. The spirit of mammon is all about our heart. Think of things from God's perspective. Not for a second. Not for a second. Now, this is a total fictitious, made-up thing, as you can imagine. But I would never let my son drive my Lamborghini. I don't have one. That's how you know I'm making it up. But I would never let him drive my Lamborghini if he can't take care of my 62 Bug. My dad, in his wisdom, handed down to me a 69 Datsun station wagon. One more color, it would have been camouflage. It was so many colors on that thing. It was army green and had a red fender and a blue striper, or a blue primer all over it. Seats were falling apart. He said, if you can't take care of this, you don't deserve anything else. I learned how to work on that car. I changed the fuel pump in that car. I changed the engine out on that car. Wish I had that car. I could work on that car. I got 29 computers on my car. 29 computers. They asked me if I wanted the warranty. I'm like, they go, well, there's 29 computers, and if one goes out, it's $5,000. I'm like, I'll take the warranty. Thank you very much. Nowadays, though, if I think about that car, I had to learn how to be a wise steward of the very thing that I was given. What makes you think my dad would ever do anything more if I couldn't take care of that? By the way, Dad never did anything more. I was on my own. But I proved myself to the Lord, because God was my source and not my father. Amen. Here's the thing. Here's a great test to let us know where we're at. First of all, by the way, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So whatever it is you have, whether it's $5, $100, two hands that work, two feet that work, your body that works. I'm thinking about Joe on the screen right now. He's relearning some things physically. It's all a gift from God. You guys all got here with no problem today. It's a gift from the Lord. We ought to be grateful and be blessed. Here's a test for us, though, to know whether we've got this thing mastered in our hearts. He says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you are not receiving, it's possibly because you're not planting. You're not giving. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure. So not just in a little measure, but a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God give back to you. This is what, if you're not a generous person, trust me, generosity is not going to come back to you. Do you want people to be nicer to you? Be nice to people. I'm having a good time being nice to people lately. Isn't that a novel concept for a Christian? But I'm going out of my way to do things just kind of like, on purpose, and I'm going, wow, it's becoming more and more addictive by the minute. I'm in Starbucks the other day, and Brandon, I didn't know the guy's name, but Brandon was right in front of me in his Navy camo, and he's in front of me, and of course I'm buying his coffee, of course, absolutely. So I give attention to the barista, who knows me real well. I called him a bartender in the last service, barista, anyway. I got the attention of the barista. I said, I'm going to buy his coffee. And he goes, yeah, he's going to buy his coffee. So then Brandon turns around. I don't know his name. We meet each other. Brandon, we have like a 15, 20-minute talk. He's like 33 years old. He's been in the military for X amount of years. All this. I'm talking to this guy. And like, all because what? I stopped and I bought the guy a cup of coffee. Not a big deal. But we had this conversation. And while we're having this conversation, I'm going, this guy's like 33 years old. Never been married. Never been divorced. Doesn't have any kids. I'm like, what female do I know that's 33? That I could hook up. And that I was channeling Jamie's spirit right then and there. It would have been perfect. But I was thinking, man, this guy's an awesome guy. But I wouldn't even have that exchange. Think about this. How much I felt so good when I left that place, because I spent time, I met this guy. He'd been on Guam. My parents were on Guam back in the 60s. We had all these conversations. I would have never known that. But all I did was stop and buy the guy a cup of coffee. But here's the cool thing. I came away from that so charged up so energized from that. More energized from that than if I would have like, well, I'm going to have a coffee and then throw in one of those things for me too. And let me buy one of those things. If I'd have just bought more things for me, I wouldn't have felt any better. But because I did something for someone else, I felt good. And you know what? In a way, I feel selfish because I'm enjoying being not selfish. Okay, some of you will get that later. You have to think through that a little bit. It feeds on itself. It's addictive. I'm getting blessed, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I walked out of Starbucks with my coffee in hand, ready to get all fired up. And I was excited about what God was doing in my life and through my life. It was fun. Wow, thank you, Lord, for using me. When Jesus said we ought to break the back of the spirit of mammon by being givers, he was also saying that whatever we give, we would get a lot more back. He will give it back. Good measure, pressed down. In other words, you can't outgive God. Well, I'm giving my last. Well, it's not God's last. He's the one that supplied you with your last. I've given away my last before, and here I stand with apparently money in my pocket. I don't know where that came from. Paul summed up the attitudes pretty well in this scripture, and I'm almost done. But here's the scripture that he says. I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's kind of one of those scriptures in the Bible that I kind of go, duh. Why did they even put that in there? It doesn't make, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Well, of course, you go out to a field. First of all, you got to sow. You don't go out to a field and go, pretty excited about what pops up. It's going to be weeds, trust me. You didn't plant anything. But if you go out to a field and you put acorn seed in, and by the way, that's okay. Start with something. Because that's where it begins. Some of you are going, well, I don't even have there's more month than there is money in my. Start with something. Plant something. And then when it has a harvest, then take something of that and plant that. And you see how it works. It's a law of sowing and reaping. If you sow A, you're going to get some back. But if you sow a bunch, you're going to get a bunch back. That's what he's saying. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So let each one give as you purpose in your heart. So back to the heart thing. That's why you can't ever accuse this pastor of being the prosperity gospel thing. Give till you get, give till you get, give till you get. No, purpose in your heart. It's about what's going on in your heart. Purpose it in your heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So there's three quick attitudes that are pointed out in here that I think will help us to kill off forever the spirit of mammon, the reality of whether I'm serving God or I'm serving money or serving finances or serving riches or serving me. And the first one is this, our giving should never become routine in our hearts as if we're just paying another bill. It just shouldn't be that way. It's a consecration kind of a thing. It's a thing that we do that we don't give. Paul calls it giving out of necessity. Every time we give, we ought to give from our heart. When Moses is teaching the children of Israel about giving, he said this, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, that the Lord God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today, give. Give. Don't forget where you came from. You were an addict. You were messed up. You were in bondage. You were single. Couldn't even find anybody to hook up with. Now you're married. Look what you got. God blessed you. I'm just saying, it shouldn't become routine in our hearts. When we give, we're not paying a bill. Now, some of you, you're ahead of me maybe a little bit, but we have an online giving opportunity here. It's in your bulletins. You can do that. I set it up where my tithe comes out automatically. I don't even think about it. Now, I say that word, but that's not true. I set it up so I don't have to think about it. But what happens is it sends me a reminder going, by the way, you just gave. And when I see it, I go, Lord, I ask you right now, I don't want to ever have this become routine, but I ask you, Lord, to bless, and Lord, that this seed would be, and I pray over the seed every single time. It's automatic. I do it on purpose because I'm just simple. Some of y'all are simple. It helps me, But I don't ever want to get to where it's just routine. It's another bill. I don't have to think about it. It just comes out. It should be an automatic thing that I honor God with my first fruits. Absolutely. But the reality of it is, do I want to stop and I want to pray over it? Secondly, he says we should be a cheerful giver as we give. Paul said God loves a cheerful giver. Let me encourage you, as you're giving, as you're even writing out a check, just pray, God, thank you so much that I have something to give. Once again, I have something to give. He says, Moses speaking says, you shall surely give him, and your heart should be not grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works in which you put your hand. God loves a cheerful giver. And let me add this, the devil hates a cheerful giver. So when you can give without fear up front, because before we give, it's like, well, I don't know if I give this, then what if it's, there's fear that kind of tries to enter in. But then also after fear comes grief. You gave 20 bucks, you leave church, you get a flat tire. Shouldn't have gave that money in the offering. Should have thought about that. And the enemy comes in and he tries to destroy that. That's what he does. That's how he works. You mean, can anybody relate to that? Totally. It's happened to me many times. He says he loves a cheerful giver. I love how one version translates it. God loves a hilarious giver. I like that because sometimes when I give, I have this mindset like, well, God, aren't you lucky? I'm able to give today. And God's like, that's hilarious. It's all mine. Right? I'm sorry, I went cynical, God, on you, but that. It's kind of how I think. He says he loves a hilarious giver. Because sometimes we go, look at me, God. I'm offering you something. He's like, look at me. I've offered you everything. So good. You can't outgive God. So he loves a cheerful giver. And then Paul says we should give generously. Moses reminds him, you shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine press, from what the Lord God has blessed you with, you shall give him. In other words, we don't just give God the bare necessity. A generous giver looks for places all over the place to give. They look at all their resources. It's not just about what's in your pocket. You know what? One amazing gift you can give somebody. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. He didn't say give money. He didn't say give this, give that. He didn't describe. He said, give and it will be given unto you. So do you want compassion? Give some compassion away. You want somebody to give a rip about your life? Give a rip about somebody else's life. Ask them how they're doing. Take the time to actually look them in the eye and listen for the answer. Hey, how's it going? Good. How you doing? Great. Good to see you. Great. That was a fantastic exchange, right? No one cares at all. Give and it will be given unto you. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves a generous giver. You look all over the place for places. There's a joy in giving bountifully. It's fun to give over and above. And then when we give, we open ourselves up to reaping in the same way that we've sown. In other words, we as long as I'm hanging on to it, it's not going anywhere, but it's not doing anything either. Hello? Y'all are getting quiet. I told you I'm not doing another offering today. Relax. Next week though. It isn't going anywhere, but it isn't doing anything. I'm going to plant seed right now. I'm going to do this right now. Kennedy, come here. This one. I'm going to plant seed right now. Now, no, I'm not giving you 10 bucks. I want you to take this. That's my $5, but I'm giving it to you as if it's yours. But I want you to take that $5, and you're going to bring that back next week. You put the $5 back in the offering if you want. Or you could figure out a way to make it more than $5. I don't know. And then bring it back. But I'm investing in you. Now, he's going to go. He's going to go right away. He's going to take his dad out for yogurt. See, that's what happens. Like, he's not going to have any problem. He really isn't going to have any problem doing something with this. Why? Because it wasn't his. I mean, it is now. Here, let me get back to you. I'm not going to touch it again. It's yours. No tricks. But he's not going to have a problem. He's not going to really have a problem doing something with that. He's like, okay, I was given a charge to do something with it, just as God's given you a charge to do something with what he's blessed you with. You're not going to have, okay, y'all take that. I dropped it. No, it's all right. So I dropped it. Dropped it. Okay. So here we go. Invest it and bring it back next week. Hey, that's just weird that she tried to get it. Like, you need to go to the Christie School of when Greg drops money. That's just not how that works. I didn't even know how to act. She's trying to get it back. I'm like, what's that? It's like we went to a different planet all of a sudden. See, it's all about generosity. Like, what? Big deal. Guess what? You know why I can give you that? It isn't mine. I don't even know where it came from. I honestly don't even know where it came from. It just was in my, like, well, so, yeah, I can give generously. This is like, that's the thing. Do we hold things loosely that God has blessed us with? Focus on being a giver. Focus on having a giving heart. Focus on giving bountifully. And here's the deal. This is not that message where you learn how to receive, because that's a dumb message. Yeah, that's almost lazy. This is about learning how to be a generous giver. Let God take care of the receiving part. Let him deal with the blessing part. He knows how to get it back in your hands. You don't even know how you got what you got. Here's the best way to maintain our trust in God, and not in money and not in finances and not in the God of riches. Give cheerfully, give regularly, give generously. And, you know, worship team, I didn't have you come last service, but I want you to come right now. Just come. Don't play anything. We'll get going in a minute. But here's the thing. I was completely done with my message yesterday, all done. And I go to coffee with Pastor. If you've never come to have coffee with Pastor on the first Saturday of the month, I'm sorry you missed it. I'm a really cool guy to hang out with. I buy donuts. I hate donuts, but there are donuts there. But I'm sitting there, and my message is in the back of my mind because I'm always thinking about messages and stuff, and I'm always thinking about sermon illustrations, and everywhere I go, there's an opportunity for sermon illustrations. Some of you have been in my sermons. I just didn't preach them here. I preached them somewhere else, but you were part of the sermon. I looked over at one point, this message in my head, I looked over, and George Hilburn is there with his coffee mug, and I looked on his coffee mug, and he has a little short quote from Jeremiah 17. I read the quote, and I went, oh, that's exactly my message. And so let me read you, because if you're going, well, I don't know about this message, Pastor, let me read you the scripture that the Lord said to Jeremiah. And you tell me, now I probably should have just read this and let you all go to the buffet, because that would have been a shorter service. This is my sermon in a nutshell in one scripture. It's Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Anytime the Lord speaks, we probably ought to go, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. I'm a self-made man. What does he say about that person? Cursed. Verse 6 says the person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. A person who's trusting in the riches of this world won't even recognize prosperity when it comes. I have seen that even in Christians. God gives them something, blesses them in a certain way, and they miss the miracle. They miss the blessing. I heard someone gave you a brand new car. Yeah, they did. They gave me a brand new car. Wish it wasn't black. I got to wash it all the time. I've been in those conversations with people. I can't. God will bless you, and if you're not careful, if you're serving the wrong God, prosperity is going to come. You won't even recognize it. It says that you'll dwell in parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. You'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root in the streams, and it does not fear when the heat comes. It doesn't fear writing out the check for your last, because it's God's. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to trust my heart, and I'll know when it's time, and I'll hear my heart tell me when it's a good time to give and when it's always a good time to give. And in terms of trusting your heart, What's the next scripture say? The heart is above all things and beyond cure. Your heart is sick. Your heart. And that's why we need God. That's why this is a heart issue. This is not a money issue. This is a heart issue. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I examine the mind. And then watch this. To reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Now, that scripture right there can mess us up and we can go off down the deep end big time because it's been taught that if we do stuff, that God will love us more. That is not what the scripture is saying. He says he'll reward you according to your deeds on the conduct, based upon what your conduct, what you deserve. But that's not about his love. He already loves you. That's settled. Here's what it is about. There's storehouses with your name on it of blessing. That's our God. And he is waiting to release those over you as you invest. But he doesn't, if you just eat the seed, if you're never planting seed, if you're never investing in somebody, never stop to look at somebody in the eye and ask them how they're doing, and you show compassion to somebody. You show compassion, you'll receive compassion. You reap what you sow. So if we're never spending that time to do what we're supposed to do, he will never reward you according to your conduct if your conduct doesn't line up. If your conduct's only lined up with your man-centeredness. I made that word up. But isn't that what we do? We're so man-centric. And he's saying, Jesus saying, you can't be man-centric and God-centric at the same time. You're going to hate one and love the other. Or you're going to love one and hate the other. But he says, choose today whom you're going to serve. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I want to pray a prayer that would break off. Because you know what? The reality of it is we all kind of deal with this in some way. But it's a spirit behind it. I want to break that off. I want to break that off. Father, right now I pray over us. That Lord God, as we plant, as we recognize that you're the giver of all things. But as we plant, Lord, I come against fear. I come against grief. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to just pour out your blessings as you see fit, according to our deeds, according to our conduct. I thank you in advance for the amazing answers to prayer. I thank you in advance, God, for the jobs, the bonuses, the unexpected checks, the discounts. The things that you just are going to, God, for causing our tires to go an extra 10,000 miles just because you wanted to bless us. Father, I thank you in advance. The blessings of God are yours and everything we have is of you, God. And so, Lord, it's our privilege to be generous. And it's a pleasure to give back to you. I ask, Lord Jesus, for a spirit of generosity to reign over us. God, that the church will be filled with generosity. And Lord God, you would have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You receive that this morning? I receive it. I receive it. God's going to do amazing things.